Well, dads, let me ask you a question. When time is over, your life here on earth has been spent, and you walk out into eternity to stand in the presence of the Lord, what will the Lord say about your parenting? What will the Heavenly Father know about how you have treated and raised and responded to the child or children that God has entrusted to your care during this earthly life? You know, every one of us that are fathers are given a trust to our children. We're given a trust to teach them and to train them in the ways of God and to nurture them. And someday we walk off the scenes and we stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus and we give accountability of what type of parenting, what type of fathering that we have done. Well, this morning I want to deal with this subject, fathering that counts for eternity. And I want you to turn with me to the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 4. It's a very small passage of Scripture, but a great deal to say about parenting, even in this little short passage that you have. Jesus comes walking by, calling his disciples to follow him. And when you get to the 18th verse, you find Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he comes to two men by the name of Simon Peter, and he comes to two other brothers. And listen to what the Bible says, beginning in verse 18 through verse 23, Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Well, when you read this one passage of Scripture, you may want to think, well, what does that say about fathering? Well, if you look at the text of it, here are two men. They're sitting in the ship, and they're sitting there with their father, and they're mending their nets. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking by on the Sea of Galilee or by the Sea of Galilee, and they're in the process of mending their nets, and all of a sudden, something happens to their life that will change forever what they do for all of their life. And it will not only change their life, but it will literally change, multiplied hundreds and thousands and millions of people, and it will also change this one father forever. Because after all, they're mending nets, and you know, Zebedee isn't mentioned a great deal in the Bible. He's mentioned probably between 9, 10, and 11 times. But the Bible says that whenever it came time to leave Zebedee, James and John, they got up, they got out of their boat, and they went and they followed Jesus. You know, there has to be a certain type of father that would release your child or children to follow the Lord. And that's what I want us to look at this morning, fathers that count for eternity. Because one of the realities whenever it comes to fathers is this. Your child or your children really know if they are released from you to serve the Lord God, or they know if they're not. Sadly, there are some parents who say something like this, I just can't ever let you go. I can't ever let you leave me because I need you so much here where I am. Well, if that had been the case in this situation or in this passage, you and I probably would never have heard of Zebedee or James and John because it would have said something about their life and their lifestyle. But there is something about this man, Zebedee, that has a great deal to say to every one of us that are dads, that are fathers, that can really matter for all of eternity. Well, if you'll take your outline and follow along with me, first and foremost, those fathers that count for all of eternity, the Bible says, are characterized with a genuine love for their children. You know, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. When you look in this passage of Scripture, you know, the Bible doesn't record a great deal about Zebedee, but the Bible does say that Zebedee was that type of hands-on father. He wasn't telling his sons to mend the nets. He wasn't telling his sons or barking out commands to his sons. The Bible says that here was a dad that was right there in the midst of the ship, right there in the midst of the boat, and he was working alongside of his sons. He didn't know but what this day was going to be the same day as it was the day before, and he thought probably the day after. But the Bible says that he was there with his sons. Now, it doesn't say a great deal, but it does say enough to know that he was a dad that was also involved in his sons' lives. You know, there is something about a dad that is involved in their children's lives, whether it's a son, whether it's a daughter. Now, there's a lot of dads that don't have any idea what their children are doing. There's a lot of dads this morning that don't have any idea what's going on in their child's life. God gives a very clear indication to every one of us that we have an accountability for what we have done and how we have treated our children and how we have invested in their lives. You see, the fact is, you know, the Bible says they were together on a pretty much on a regular basis. And no doubt there were relationships that were born, and Zebedee, he was involved in talk. As a matter of fact, you can't be in the ship and not talk with one another, mending nets. They just didn't sit there, but they would talk back and forth, and they felt comfortable with their dad. They loved their dad. But one of the things they knew is that their dad loved them. Listen, when you're in the midst of a business and you're involved in your children's life and you're right there in the middle of it with them, there is something that communicates to your child that words cannot. Listen, being with them and helping them and being right in the middle of what they're involved in, and that's exactly what the Bible says. You know, Zebedee's love for his sons, he treated them in a very caring way because you'll find it by their life. You know, John was one of the most loving men in all the New Testament. You hear him speak on and you hear him write so many passages about the love of God. And I think he learned a great deal about love also from his earthly father. Zebedee was that type of dad who communicated love to his children. Now, dads, I want to ask you this question. Does your children know that you communicate love to them? Could your child say, if they was put on a witness stand and with their hand raised in testimony, my dad is a loving dad, he communicates love. Now you say, well, I'm not that type that hugs all the time. I'm not asking you that. But does your child know and sense and have that deep abiding awareness in their being that you are a loving dad? Listen, you may not understand a lot of things that they think or do. You don't have to. But there is something about a loving dad. There is something about that dad that loves and cares and nurtures. And you see, the thing about it is, there's a great breakdown in our country between parents and children. But listen, it's not the culture. It's not the music. It's not the technology. None of that really has a lot to do with the breakdown. You know what it is? A lot of it is just a breakdown. And, you know, dads don't want to be involved in their children's life. Dads don't want to be involved in what's going on in their child's life and what's going on and how they're living their life. There is something about that dad that gets involved. And you see, when you get involved in your child's life, they know you love them. Never will forget Charles Stanley was telling the story when he was a younger father with his son Andy. He said he was gardening, and as he was gardening, he was trying to give Andy some chores to do, and he found out that Andy just, you know, would leave his chore and come to be with him. And he said he shortly realized that his son didn't want chores to do or didn't want to do any gardening. His son just wanted to be around him. Listen, every one of us, every man has that instinct. Every little boy, every little girl has that yearning to love daddy. I'll never forget some years ago, when a man in his mid-40s came into my office and he was heartbroken, and I asked him to communicate what was going on. And he said, you know, when I was 11 years old, now get this, he's 40, this story happened at 11. 29 years had passed in this story. He said, I went to hug my dad, and my dad pushed me away and said, son, we don't do that anymore. He said, from that day on to now, I just feel like my dad has never loved me. There is something about that loving dad. Listen, say what you will, do what you will. There is something about a loving dad. This was a loving dad. Listen, he had a love for James. He had a love for John. He wanted to be involved in their life. Yes, it was the family business. Yes, it was their livelihood, but he could have stayed. He could have barked out commands at him if he wasn't a loving dad. He could have told them, fix those nets and do this and do that. Listen, it is a sin against God when dads just bark out command and are not willing to be hands-on, are not willing to show that genuine love to their children. The God who gave you life, and if you're a Christian who saved you as a dad, has called you to demonstrate that to your children. Listen, if he demonstrates love for you and me and he gave his only begotten son that you and I could have everlasting life, the command of our Heavenly Father is that we show love to our children as well. And not just have to, but we want to. Why? Because listen, they're gifts from God. They're gifts that God has put into your hands. They're gifts that God has entrusted you with. Well, another characteristic of a dad that counts for eternity is that willingness to teach and instill a genuine work ethic. Think about this a minute. Imagine if, just say 70% of the dads or 80% of the dads in our country instilled a work ethic in children. Man, it'd be unreal what would be going on in our country. You remember as you was raised and how your dad taught you, what your dad taught you? Listen, here was a dad, you know, think about this for a moment. What the world would be like if there was work ethic that was instilled in children. We do have work ethic instilled in some children, but not as much as we ought to have. Here in the life of Zebedee, the Bible says that he was in the boat mending the nets. In other words, those boys got to see, listen, if Dad wants us to do it, he'll do it too. You will communicate the greatest work ethic to your children when you're willing to do what you ask them to do. Son, I need you to go in there and help your mom with the dishes. Now you say, now wait just a minute, I don't do dishes. Why not? Listen, when a husband gets beside his wife and he's washing and she's drying and putting up or she's washing, there is something kids see in that. There is that companionship. And here is a dad. Listen, the Bible records that he was in the ship. He was with his sons mending the nets. And what that meant was he was leading by example. He was leading whenever it came. Listen, you find a lazy son, and most of the time you'll look behind him and you'll find a lazy dad. You find a son that has a deep, abiding work ethic. And you know what you've got in front of him? You've got a dad that's got a deep, abiding work ethic. Now, let me just give you a caution. There is a difference in having a deep work ethic and being a workaholic. Some people just work and work and work and they do nothing else in life but work. Balance is wonderful. But this dad, he had a deep abiding work ethic, and what it meant, he taught his sons, he taught Zebedee, or he taught John, and he taught James, and he modeled it in front of him. Listen, you know what the Bible says in Proverbs 13:4? The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. You know what that means? Dads, when you teach your child a work ethic, you are instilling them potential to have a good job the rest of their life. You know why? Well, let me just ask you this question. How many of us would like to hire somebody lazy? There's a business to be run and you want to hire a lazy person. You're not looking for a lazy person. You're looking for a person that thinks for themselves, they're willing to work, and they're willing to do those things that you don't even ask to be done. They're willing to, you know, you don't ask them to sweep, but they'll sweep. You don't ask them to do this, but they'll do it. Listen, Zebedee taught James and John a deep abiding work ethic. Now listen, as Jesus saw what Zebedee instilled in them and knew what he instilled with them, he knew that they were going to need that as they were disciples of Jesus Christ. You know why? Listen, they would be traveling, they would be working, they would have a tremendous, tremendous responsibility under the Lord Jesus Christ. Zebedee had no idea that James was going to pen the small book of James that you have in the Bible. Zebedee had no idea that this John that you and I are talking about would have penned the Gospel of John and later the Revelation. But here's what he did. He taught them, he instilled in them, and he instilled in them a deep, abiding work ethic. And you know, not only a work ethic, but next, and this is probably as difficult as any, that willingness to release your child over to God. Now, there's something interesting that happens in this passage of Scripture. If you look in verse 21 and 22, Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he's called Simon and Peter. And the Bible says, going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother in a ship, with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And look at verse 22. And they immediately left the ship and their father. The Bible says they left their nets behind, they left their income behind, and they followed Jesus. Now, I want you to listen. I want you to use your mind. What would you do if 2/3 of your workforce left to follow the Lord? They were a company of 3, according to this passage. And here is Zebedee. All of a sudden, James and John are gone. All of a sudden, here is Zebedee in this ship. He's just mending nets. And all of a sudden, he has his sons no more. He has James no more. He has John no more. He doesn't have their help. Are you dad enough to release your child into the hands of God so he can use them whatever way he wants to use them? Or, dad, are you the type of person who says, honey, whatever you do, please don't move too far away from your mommy and me. We'll need you down the road. Now, God understands that. And sometimes somebody will say, well, now, you know, God expects us to have common sense. God has perfect sense. What would have happened if James and John had stayed around Zebedee and just taken care of their daddy? You wouldn't have the Gospel of John. You wouldn't have the Revelation. You wouldn't have the little book of James penned, because you would have had 2 men that stayed where they were. There is something about releasing your child into the hands of God. Dads, you will need to answer this question before yourself, and someday you will really have to answer it before the Father. Am I willing to release my child into the hands of God so God can do with my child or my children whatever he would have them do? Am I willing to release my child into the hands of the Father so he can do in them, with them, to them, or through them whatever he wants to do? You see, the sad part about it is so many answers are no. We'll come to church and we'll come to worship, but we don't let our children be released. I'll never forget the words of my mother. She said, son, I'd rather have you in a foreign field, obedient to God, than living right across the road from me out of the will of God. That has always riveted my mind. It's stuck in my mind. And what my mother told me at that time was, no matter where God leads you and what God tells you to do, obedience to him must be paramount. Listen, this dad found out that his sons left to follow. Listen, he released them. Does your child have that release from you? You know the sad part about it? The sad part about it is some individuals aren't even going to say, God, use my life whatever you want to, because you want a comfortable lifestyle and you don't want things to change that much. If you want a comfortable lifestyle and don't want to yield your life over to God, he'll let you have just that. But you'll never know what God could have done with your life. You'll never know what the Father could have done with your child's life by releasing them to the hands of God. You'll never know, Dad, what could have happened to your son, but you decided not to release him, so God took you up on that, and God didn't take your son. You wanted to have hold of your son. You don't want to release him to the hands of God, so God lets you have what you wanted. And your son's not going to live too far from you. There's nothing wrong with that. Please understand that. But there is something about releasing your child to God. There is something about releasing your children into the hands of the Father and say, Father, whatever, wherever you want to take my child, my children, however you want to use them for your glory, that's my heart's desire. The Bible says that Zebedee release them. Now think about this a minute. Zebedee's minding his own business, and he would never know, and you and I, and John never knew the impact of their life. John didn't know the impact of his life as he wrote. James didn't know the impact of his life as he wrote. But there, that boat probably was a turning point in their lives. You know, the Bible can't write everything that took place in that moment. But I can just sort of hazard a conversation like this. Dad, are you sure you're willing to release us to go? Dad, we hate to leave you. After all, you'll have to mend all these. Listen, you follow him. I'll be all right. God will take care of me. And as they got out of the boat, I don't know but what they might have had some concern. They might have even had some tears. The Bible doesn't say. But they did have a love for their dad. And it probably wasn't an easy thing. It wasn't an easy thing some years ago for me to leave and travel 200 and some miles away to go to college. It wasn't an easy thing. One night in my college dorm, I was ready to quit, pack up, go back home. It wasn't an easy thing. For some of you, it's not going to be an easy thing because you've got to make some decisions about the future of your life and what God wants to do. But dads, here's something you need to ask. Can your child follow God when it's not convenient to you? Can your daughter follow God with your approval when it's not going to be easy on you? If you say to your child, you can never live that far away from me, God will honor that. But you will never know in this lifetime potentially what could have been. Now, I'm not saying that God wouldn't have left them there. That may be God's will for their life. But there's something about releasing your child into the care of God. And another thing about Zebedee and his life and these type of dads that count for eternity are willing to put their own needs last. Can you just imagine? Here is Zebedee and here's some boats that, or here's some nets that need mending and he doesn't have the workforce. You know, Zebedee and his sons were fishermen, which meant their livelihood from the catch of the fish, you know, losing 2/3 of your workforce. And Zebedee's not critical of Jesus. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes people are critical of Jesus. Why did you call my child to the ministry? Why did you call my child to the mission field? If you hadn't called my child to the mission field, my child would be living. Are you saying that your wisdom and knowledge is better than the Father's? Is your wisdom better than the wisdom of the Lord Jesus? You see, the nature of God, he can never give us what is best, but what happens is a lot of times we show our selfishness. And in the life of Zebedee, he's not critical of Jesus calling his sons. Do you realize when Zebedee's sons were called, Jesus would make more of their life than they could have ever done for themselves in 1,000 lifetimes? Only God in heaven knows the multiplied millions and millions and millions and millions and millions that know their name because they were released to follow the Lord. When you're dead, how many will know your name? When you're gone because you've obeyed the living God, how many will know your name? You see, there is one thing about it. We forget sometimes we're not made for time. You are created for eternity. Every one of us are. And when you walk off the scenes, your life's not over. No, no, no. Your life, your witness, your legacy, your testimony is not over at the end of your life when you breathe your last breath and your body is buried and you go home to be with the Lord if you're a Christian. Your life continues to live. You continue to live. I'm reading sermons now and been reading sermons of a precious saint of God. He's been dead probably 15, 20 years. Some of the greatest ones that I enjoy reading, their writings. Some of them have been dead at least 100 years, and yet they're so much alive. The greatest devotional book that has ever been published and the most widely purchased My Utmost for His Highest was written by a man that's been dead over 100 years, Oswald Chambers. See, you don't die when you die. And one of the things that I believe Zebedee knew is my sons really don't leave this world when they leave this world. Your life continually matters and counts. And listen, in the life of Zebedee, he knew that it was far better to give his sons over to the Lord Jesus, and whatever his needs, the Lord would take care of. Wouldn't you love for somebody to remember your name 100 years from now? Wouldn't you love to make a godly impact in the life of somebody 150 years from now, if time stands? You can. But the issue is the life that you live before God, the life you live before the Father. And you see, in the life of Zebedee, he was a father that counted because he put his needs last. But another type of father that counts for eternity is this. They're remembered because they're unselfish actions. You know, here's an interesting reality. Many of the disciples' fathers are never mentioned. Did you know that? You'll read the disciples, but many of their fathers are never named. Why is that? Well, God in heaven knows. But could it be that they were so oriented to self and selfish living and making a living in their day and time that only God knows? But Zebedee was sensitive to the agenda of God. And you know, whenever it came to Zebedee's life, he's remembered. Here you have two sons. You'll find Zebedee not saying one critical thing to his sons. He says nothing critical to Jesus. He releases them to follow the Lord. And I know in my own heart that when he released them, there was that serenity and peace and that power of God in his own life, because God just, he has a way of validating that you're obeying him. And Zebedee knew he was going to be all right. Listen, when you are willing to release your children to God and you're willing to put your needs last, when you're willing to serve the Lord unselfishly, you know what he does? He just brings far more people into your life. You're a blessing too. People that want to know you. Listen, does anybody want to know you? Does anybody just want to hang around your life because you're that type of person? You're just a blessing to people. That's your focus. You want to be a blessing. I believe that was the life of Zebedee. Well, you know, Zebedee lived his life, and it's as though God is making sure in this passage of Scripture. Now think about it. God didn't have to put this here. I want you to think how simple an act this is. They're mending their nets, and God makes sure this passage is penned in the Word of God. They're mending their nets, and God makes sure, don't forget Zebedee. Sometimes we may not think about it, but the Lord God never forgets you. He never forgets what you give and how you serve and how you release your children. Now listen, if you don't release your children to him, he remembers that too. I don't mean to be negative, but that's just the truth. When the father releases his child or children to serve the Lord, he goes to his grave happy. That's what the Bible says. But when you don't release your children to serve the Lord and you want them for selfish means and selfish purposes, God will make sure there is heartbreak, 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 heartbreak and heartbreak. Why? Because you have oriented your child or children to a self-oriented, selfish, ungodly way of living. So many fathers are never mentioned in the Bible. And it couldn't have, but it's as though God says, I want you to remember Zebedee. He released his sons to father me. He released his sons to do what I wanted them to do. Someday you'll walk out of this life and you'll stand in the presence of the Lord. Someday I will. And I'll be evaluated on my fathering. I'll be evaluated what I did and how I did it. I'll be evaluated how I treated the gift of a daughter that God gave me. But I'll also be evaluated as to, did I release her to follow the Lord? Dads, I want to ask every one of you, have you released your child or children to do what the Lord wants them to do? And the question, if you haven't, why haven't you? Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your wonderful, wonderful truth from the pages of Scripture. What you have to say to us about fathering, what you have to say to us when it comes to this area of giving of ourselves and releasing our children to you. So much from just this one passage about a dad that you didn't want us to forget. It's as though you said, I want you to remember my servant Zebedee. Father, he was a common man just like many of us, all of us. But he knew that there was higher purposes than just his life. Father, help us be mindful of that. Orient us to the fact that there's a kingdom that you're advancing. We're going to leave this world someday. We're going to walk off the scenes. But your kingdom marches on. May we release our children to your hands, is our prayer. In Jesus we pray.